Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears with you here Thursday, January the 14th, 2021, and we're off and running 16 and a half minutes past the hour, and it's just going to be you and me today on the toll-free line here, 740-383-9944. Now, one of the reasons for this is we have talked about a lot of stuff this week in regard to the world. We've had some great guests. We had Kai Mead, city councilman, on Monday. We had Mary Ellen Withrow on Tuesday. We had Gary Burbank yesterday, the voice of Earl Pitts. We had Dr. Art Uhlein talking about the vaccine and the COVID-19 pandemic. We had Dr. Ron Feynman on Monday. It's been a great week of guests, but here we are now on Thursday, and there's a lot going on in the world. And I thought, well, we'll just open up the phone lines this morning and have a conversation about everything we have talked about on this station in the last 3 days. So the telephone lines will remain open this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, there are a couple things this morning that I do want to do, a little bit of housekeeping here, because there are just some stories here in Ohio that are going to affect us here in Marion, and also some things that we need to get done. We're going to have a fun one here right off the bat. Let's just start with the fun one, and then we'll go to the other topics. Now, yesterday I got a lot of feedback on having Gary Burbank on the show. Gary Burbank, of course, the longtime creator and voice of Earl Pitts. And people love that character. It's been syndicated in this area for many, many years. And as many of you know, if you listened to the show yesterday, after 35 years, Gary Burbank has brought that show to an end. Some stations are still airing classic episodes, but the last new episode of Earl Pitts aired on January 1st, 2021, so that would have been 14 days ago. Now, yesterday we did not have the last episode that aired, the last new episode of Earl Pitts. Gary talked about it a little bit. But Gary was also very honest yesterday in the fact that he's been diagnosed with a slight memory condition, and he has trouble remembering things sometimes, and heavens knows, as time goes by, I think we're all faced with that. So, what happened yesterday is I got an email from, I would guess this is one of Gary's producers, and he sent me a copy of the last Earl Pitts that aired. So, what I thought we would do is play that, because I think people like to hear Earl Pitts, and I don't know that, to be honest with you, I have not listened to this, so I don't know if there's any special significance to it being the last one. I think Gary said yesterday that there was no goodbye or anything, because a lot of stations want to continue to air the classic episodes, but this is the last new episode of Earl Pitts that ever aired. It aired back on January 1st, 2021, 14 days ago. So take it away, Gary. Here is the last Earl Pitts that ever aired.
You know what makes me sick? You know what makes me so mad? I could just drill a hole in my COVID mask and use it to chain smoke a pack of Pall Mallers. Much as people argue about politics these days, I think we really need to put things in perspective. There are other much more important things to get riled up over. You take my neighbor Peppers. Yeah, that's his name. Some time ago, I saw Pepper standing in his front yard with a shovel and a bucket. He looked over at me and he said, "I know what you're doing, Pitts. You got your dog trained to do his business in my yard." I snapped back. I said, well, you got your maple trees trained to drop their leaves in mine. They said, that's crazy. You can't train trees. I said, if you knew old Blue here, you'd say the same thing about him. And we went back and forth until finally Pepper said, I'm warning you, Pitts, keep your dog out of my yard. I pointed to Pepper's trees, and I said, tit for tat, buddy, tit for tat. I don't know what that means, but I sure do like saying it. Fast forward to the other day. Okay, I'm out in the front yard raking up leaves from Pepper's trees. He come across the street with a bucket, set it on the sidewalk, and said, I believe this is yours. I handed him a bag of leaves, and I said, I'll bring the rest over later. That made Pepper's mad. He said, I'll tell you what, Pitts, if I see that dog of yours headed my way, I'll be over with a load of buckshot. To which I replied, fine. And if I see any of your leaves headed my way, I'll be over there with a flamethrower. Currently, I got old Blue on a chain, so he's pretty much been, you know, taken care of since then. Well, we did have some pretty good wind gusts last night, so I was forced to go over and deal with that. To my credit, I did leave a note pinned to the smoking stump and said, this is only a warning shot. Wake up, America! My point is this. They say all politics is local. I say the same thing applies to dead leaves and dog poop. That's what I say. This is Earl Pitts, America. Pants off.
And that was the last episode of Earl Pitts that ever aired. There it was, so now you heard it. And there was no particular significance to that being the last episode, but it was interesting, talking a little bit about the COVID masks and so on and so forth. But that was the last new Earl Pitts that aired or will ever air, and that aired on January 1st. 2021. So we thank the producers for sending that over. All right, that's the first topic of the morning. You know, I was wondering, because we did get a lot of response about this on Facebook yesterday and in messages during the program. Is there anything anybody would like to say about Earl Pitts retiring, Gary Burbank? Gary Burbank said he wasn't retiring, just retiring the character of Earl Pitts. It was fascinating yesterday. Did anybody think it was interesting how Gary worried, and he mentioned it twice during the interview, that people thought Earl Pitts was real, that the stuff that he was saying was normal, that it's not normal. I mean, I'm just saying what Gary said yesterday, that it's not normal and that it's not the way he thinks, that this is kind of an Archie Bunker character. It's not based in any kind of reality. A matter of fact, the things that he is saying are outlandish. And I don't know. You know, I wonder, do people take it that way? Do people take it as pure comedy and that the things that Earl is saying are not serious? I found that interesting yesterday. And I also found Gary's opinions as Gary Burbank very interesting on all the things that are going on in the world right now. But if you have anything to say in regard to Gary Burbank or the end of Earl Pitts after 35 years, give me a buzz here, 740-383-9944. Heavens knows we had a lot of comments and private messages yesterday in regard to this, so shoot me a message if you have anything to say or have anything to say in regard to yesterday's interview. Would love to hear from you. 25 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say about the Gary Burbank interview or the last Earl Pitts that aired there, that was the last one. And again, I thank his producers and the people at his recording studio for sending that over so we could share it with our audience this morning. You know, 35 years, longevity is no mistake. To be able to be on the air 35 years, cranking out new episodes one day a week, 5 days a week, every week, that's a lot. Because those bits are aimed at being funny. And to try to be funny 5 days a week, you know, sometimes things just aren't funny. And you have to figure that in that 35-year history, we've had a pandemic, We've had presidential elections. We've had 9/11. We've had, I guess now, 3 impeachments of presidents that have went on. We've had a lot of stuff. A recession. So, you know, tough times. And laughter always is the best medicine. I still believe that. You know, people put a lot into money to make them happy. They put a lot into things like houses and cars to make them happy. They try to put a lot into other people, making them happy. And there's nothing wrong with that one, and I'll tell you why, by the way, in a second. But you know, marriages, relationships, there's a lot of things that people put their happiness in and on, their job. And the truth of the matter is, laughter is really the only thing, really is the only thing at all that can truly make you happy involuntarily. That when you laugh spontaneously, it's an emotion like a sneeze. It's a reaction. You can't stop it from happening. And when you are laughing, the moment you are laughing, no matter what pain you are feeling, whether it be physical pain or mental pain, you cannot be upset in that moment. You cannot feel that pain that you are involuntarily laughing. So to give that to the world for so many years, as Gary Burbank, as Earl Pitts did, you know, what a really big accomplishment that is. A real big accomplishment. So, you know, my hat's off to him, certainly, for everything that he did for 35 years, and will continue to do. I think he's got a podcast in the works, so that'll be a lot of fun. But you can put your happiness in other people. What I wanted to say about that was, you just got to put it in the right people. Sometimes people put their happiness on other people for the wrong reasons. And I'm not really sure why that happens, but it's superficial reasons. They put it in them for superficial or security. If you're just having a good time with somebody and they make you laugh and they make you happy, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But if they only make you happy at certain times and the rest of the times they're making you miserable or at least not happy at all, this is not a good thing. And you know what's funny about the whole thing? In the end, nobody comes up to you and says, oh, I did this to be happy, and I'm really not happy. Nobody's ever going to admit to that. In their own mind, they do believe that what they have done is making them happy. So it's very hard to convince them that they're not happy. And of course, I think their answer would be, well, how do you know I'm not happy? Well, you just have to look at the situation. It's not hard to look at a situation and say that that is not the happiest situation. And sometimes people talk in a way that I don't think they realize that they're giving away that they're not happy. Because in their own mind, they do think they're happy. They think they've made the right decisions. They think they've made the right choices. But again, they're not doing this intentionally. They're not intentionally making themselves less happy. You know, I'll tell you something, and I think about this a lot during the pandemic that we've been under, is overscheduling. You cannot overschedule yourself to a point where you don't get to do the stuff that you want to do that does make you happy. That's a big mistake. And I understand why people do it. People have kids. People have relationships. People have jobs. I certainly understand how that happens. But sometimes you have to say no to certain things so you can fit other things in that just genuinely make you happy. But you have to know what to say no to and what not to say no to. I think sometimes what happens is people end up saying no to the things that make them happy because the things that make you happy sometimes go to the bottom of the list. and you think, well, I have got to, you know, this child's got to go here, and I've got to spend quality time with the person in my life, and I have to go take care of my parents, and I've got to do all this, which may not bring you the most happiness. It may just be an obligation. But you can't say no to that because you feel guilty, because you feel this is your responsibility, even though it's not bringing you a huge amount of happiness. So you end up taking the things that are happy and saying no to those. It's a balancing act. And I don't think anybody messes with this. I don't think anybody messes this up on purpose. I just think it happens. So the advice this morning, based upon the Gary Burbank interview yesterday, and the idea that everybody needs to have some laughs in their life, every day, if you can, even if it's for just a few minutes, is don't make that mistake. Really prioritize your life so you can fit that in, even if just for a few minutes. And never stay in something that's going to make you terminally unhappy. Whether you've been unhappy for 50 years or 50 minutes, end it quick. Say, I have got to stop doing this. A lot of people do that with jobs. A lot of times I'll ask people, I'll say, where do you work? And they'll say, well, I work here, such and such. And I'll say, well, are you happy doing that? And I don't know if they're happy or not, because their answer always seems to be based in money. You know, they'll say, well, I make good money. I have good insurance. You know, it allows me to do the things I want to do. Okay, but are you happy? You spend 40 hours a week, sometimes more than 40 hours a week, doing your job. You got to be happy with it every day, even if it puts you in the poorhouse. Now, does anybody else have an opinion on this? Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and we can discuss it. Because it's a big topic, and I would much rather discuss this today than all the other crazy news that's going on in the world. Or again, if you have something to say about the Gary Burbank interview yesterday, or just him in general. I mean, he's been in a lot of people's lives now for 35 years. For all that to come to an end is a big, big thing. And we had a few people yesterday, as I say, private messaging, because we had Gary on the line. So if there's something in particular you would like to say, shoot me a message. I know Gary listens to this show from time to time, so there's a good chance he might hear what you have to say. Or what did it mean to you in your life? Was it comedy, or did you take it as a very serious piece? I don't know if people did or not. I really don't know. I think Gary has some worry about that, but we'll leave that where it is. If anybody has an opinion, 740-383-9944. 34 and a half minutes past the hour. Give me a buzz, and we can talk about anything on your mind. Okay, now that we've done the Gary Burbank thing, let's go to the heavier news. Yesterday, we also had Dr. Art Euling on. And Dr. Art Euling came on and talked about the COVID vaccine and talked about people who are getting it and people who are not getting it and the misrepresentation. And it's a very tough thing right now, because I guess in my own mind, being in this pandemic now for 9+ months, I thought when the vaccine finally got here that everybody would be jumping on the train to take it. And they're not. And it's not just one or two people. It's quite a few people who haven't taken it. But then again, I know there are a lot of people who have taken it, who've been offered. Off the top of my head, I know there are three people who I know and have talked to who have taken the vaccine. And they range in age from late 30s to 90. Obviously, you know the 90-year-old, it's Mary Ellen. So, here is a group of people who took it and do not seem to be, you know, out of it or facing big complications. But there are people who are worried and who I know at this point will deny taking the vaccine. And I don't know if that's the best thing to do. Now, Dr. Art Euling was on the show yesterday, and he explained that, yes, it can cause some side effects that might make you sick for a minute after you take the vaccine. But by and large, in most people, unless they have allergies to certain things, it's not really going to affect them. And as Mary Ellen said, it didn't affect her. And I know the other person who took it was in their 80s, I think. And they did not seem to have any issues with it. But a lot of people are saying they're not going to get it even when offered, because there's a lot of misinformation out there about this. And if we don't get the vaccine, I'm not sure how we're ever going to get rid of this, because certainly people aren't going to stay in. The only other way to get rid of this is if people stay in. But we've discovered that ain't going to happen. People are not going to stay in. People are not going to wear the mask all the time. And people are not going to stay 6 feet apart all the time. So if you're not going to do that, and then you're also not going to get the vaccine, I'm not really sure how this all ends. I'm not sure how we get to the end of this. And we need to get to the end of this. So people who are worried about lights at the end of the tunnel and we want to get back to normal, well, at this point, it seems like we are stopping us from getting back to normal. It's here. The illness is here. So you have some choices here. You can get the vaccine. You can put a mask on, or you can stay 6 feet apart from people. But I don't know if people are willing to do that. It just doesn't seem like they are. Does anybody understand, after hearing Dr. Euling yesterday, or anybody else in the news, why people are refusing the vaccine? And I'm not coming down on people for not getting the vaccine, because, you know, that's everybody's own choice. Everybody has a choice to make. But we can't very well say that we hope the end will come if we keep putting ourselves in danger. If we keep going out and we continue not to wear masks and we continue not to stay 6 feet apart and we make an option not to get the vaccine, then how are we going to get rid of this? It's always going to be there in some form or fashion. And then yesterday we learned that this new strain, which we have been talking about, that came from the United Kingdom, apparently is being found in Columbus. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, Scott. I heard the program yesterday about Dr. Euling and the pandemic we're going through with the virus. I really felt that that was very educational, and I think maybe that it should be, you know, aired all over, you know, because I had a nephew, I talked with him last evening in Fostoria, and he said he did not hear it. And so, you know, I just think that should be all over everywhere.
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting. We will air it more on this station, and it's on the website. If people are have the internet, they can go to our website, wwgh1071.com, and it is there. Matter of fact, maybe I can get Adam, who runs our website, to put it on the homepage, because as you say, I think it's a very important interview to hear for people who are making the decision to get the vaccine, and if you've already had COVID, what are your risks? What did you take away from the interview yesterday?
I really had mixed feelings about it, just hearing people say they wasn't going to take it, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, you know, that they had. But, you know, I just really, it changed my mind completely, because I had doubts, you know, going. And so, you know, once I heard that, I mean, I want to go take it. Because he said, you know, the things that maybe you might have, some kind of an effect after you take it, that outweighs everything that might be, you know, bad. So, you know, the good outweighs the bad, in other words.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me, and I will be, you know, because I try to be honest here every morning. Like I said, I know three people personally who have taken the vaccine, and Mary Ellen gave us her experience the other day, and Mary Ellen is 90, and she said the only thing she had was a sore arm. I know somebody in their 80s who got it, and there was no side effects there. Now, it's interesting because the person in their late 30s did have some side effects. Now, they were not bad. They were nauseous for a few days, tired for a few days. It was nothing that stopped them from going to work or anything. It was just a few days, but they have a highly susceptible... They're allergic to a lot of things, which probably caused that. And it made me think about what Dr. Euline said. How many people are consulting their doctor before they go take it and saying, you know my medical history, you know what I'm allergic to, you know what medical conditions I have, is it okay for me to go take this? And I'm sure in most cases the doctor is going to say yes, but he might warn you that because maybe a medication you're on or a condition you have, you might get sick afterwards, but right. In the end, you know, you're going to be safe, 95% safe from this illness.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing about it, there's no guarantee on anything, whatever it might be. Like if I help somebody, I mean, especially if it comes to clean or whatever, now I'm I can really do the job, but I always tell them right up front, I cannot do it 100%. So if you expect me to do it for 100%, please get somebody else.
Yeah,
so I kind of think that as the virus, you know what I'm saying? Nothing is 100%, and, you know, you got to take the good with the bad and just kind of run your risk.
Well, I think that's true, and I also think it's interesting to know that it does take 8 weeks for it to be fully effective.
Yes.
And also, it's 95%, which is pretty good, but it's 95%. People have to be aware of that. But I just don't know if people continue to go out and people continue not to wear masks and not stay 6 feet apart and they don't get the vaccine, which is their choice.
Oh,
I don't
yes.
know.
How, yes, they cannot.
Yeah.
Yes,
how are we ever going to get rid of this?
No. Well, I heard it may be perhaps. I mean, this is what, I mean, I hear all kinds of things out here. I've heard it's possibly going to last 10 years if people don't get out here and start doing what's right, you know, and trying to do their part. You know, and keeping this from spreading. But I know families, they're just, you know, going back and forth and whatever. I haven't even been to see my family because, you know, I'm trying to stay in and follow the guidelines.
Oh.
And, you know, but see, people are just not believing this is really happening. And that's the problem. We haven't convinced the people that this is truly happening. And, I mean, there's people just making this a joke.
Well, and I think that's the big mistake. I've said since the beginning of this pandemic that we have to not panic, because panic will not help anything.
That's correct.
But we do have to be serious about it. We've got to do what we need to do. And you know what? I never would have dreamed in the beginning of this. I never would have dreamed that people would have been so, I don't even know what the word, kind of cavalier in how they dealt with it. I just couldn't imagine that in the middle of a pandemic, people would go to Cedar Point. People would go to the zoo.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it really was kind of shocking to me. And when the numbers started to go up and up and up and up and up, and you get calls from the school every day because kids are getting testing positive, as well as teachers and coaches, you know, I'm not sure we would have been in this mess if in the beginning we would have just kept most things shut down.
Correct, yes. I know it was hard on the businesses and on everybody, but yeah, and that to me was good, you know.
Yeah.
But they say still, you know, people are, you know, going to restaurants and going to church is what's really, you know, spreading this. But although, you know, a lot of the larger churches are closed down right now, or they were the last time that I heard, this is people's choice, and, you know, you can't stop people from doing what they want to do.
But, you know, it is interesting because I do understand people don't want to lose their businesses. I do understand that people want to go to church. Church has always been very congregational, and it's important. They want to go. They want to see their pastor. They want to see their priest. They want to be around other people. They want to pray. They want to do all this. And you know, so I don't know. I would think if everybody wore a mask and you stayed as far apart as you could, I would think these things would be okay. But I hear a story a few weeks ago about how on New Year's Eve, you know, there's a bar, and I'm not going to say the name again, but the person on the air did.
Yeah.
But there's a bar in this area that on New Year's Eve was pretty packed, and nobody had a mask on, and apparently law enforcement officers were there. Now, I don't know that to be true, but that's what we heard.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like you said, you hear stories, you don't know what's true and what isn't, but it certainly is spreading. And, but I think, this is what I believe. I think that they should force everybody, when I mean everybody, whether you rent, whether you own, or whatever you do, to have to dig up your backyard and your front yard and grow your own vegetables and you know, try to do something here with this food situation. Because they say we have people out here starving. It's hard for me to believe because all my life, you know, I grew up on a farm. And, you know, we had food to give away, and my mother canned. And, you know, we had food to take to people that didn't have. And so I really believe that people need to stay busy. And I think that they should provide everybody, instead of sending all this stimulus money, I think they should provide people with seeds. And, you know, have everybody dig up the backyards and front yards and just start working. And that way they won't have as much free time out here to go places, like you said, to Cedar Point and here and there.
You know what's been an interesting point of this whole thing is, you know, I know a lot of people are working from home, but there are a lot of people who can't work from home because of the type of jobs they have.
That's correct,
And it's interesting because the people who have to go to work to get the paycheck, you know, they don't have a lot of time on their hands. And also, I'm sure it's a very nerve-wracking situation to be in the middle of the public during the pandemic and the numbers being so high, but yet the people who are working at home, you know, they get the same amount of stimulus money as everybody else, and they're getting their paychecks, and they no longer have to drive back and forth to work, so they're certainly saving on gas money. So I think that's a little strange, and I'm not even sure how the government would determine who would get what based upon who's working at home or not, but people working at home certainly are having a little bit of an upper hand here than people who are not.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's basically it, you know, with this virus. But, you know, going back to laughter that you were talking about earlier.
Yes.
I retired from Bob Evans, and I'd always wanted to work at Kingston because, you know, I thought it was such a lovely place. And I wanted to be around the rich and famous. And so, believe it or not, I went to work there after I retired for about a year and a half. And one of our duties working there, of course, I served the food to the residents there in the big dining room. And so what we had to do, one of our job duties, was to make whoever you were serving, say something to them that would make them laugh. So, you know, that was our job duty.
Well, it's a good, you know, that's an interesting rule that I think more businesses should adopt, because it really is true. Above all else, the one thing you can put your hope in to feel better is laughter. And sometimes you don't even mean to make people laugh. It's something you do completely involuntarily. But it really does matter. I you know, Have you ever noticed back in the days when we could go visit people in hospitals, when you went to the hospital to see somebody and clearly they were sick and not feeling well, if two or three people would get in a room, you'd start reminiscing about old times and you'd start laughing and the person would start laughing who was in the hospital bed, and they don't want you to leave because I think they're feeling better. Their juices are flowing because of the laughter and the memories And, you know, it goes on all the time, but we never think about it. We think we need to make money. We need to make the most money we can. We've got to buy things. This is where our happiness is.
That's correct.
Yeah, but it's never in emotion.
Yes. Well, listen, I've pretty well talked this whole time, so I think I better get off of here and give somebody else an opportunity.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts. Thank you for calling.
You have a great day, okay? Thank you, bye.
All right, and again, phone lines are open. If the phone line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So give us a buzz. 52 minutes past the hour here, 740-383-9944. It all comes back to being happy. You know, there are certain physical ailments that you're never going to get past. They just come on you. It's unfortunate, but it happens. But it's how you deal with them that becomes the important part. So give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And give us your thoughts on anything. The vaccine is an interesting one. I'd love to talk more about this vaccine because the new strain apparently is in Columbus. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, so one thing my daddy always said, Scott, be careful what you wish for. So if you look on the website, in that blog section to the right, I have highlighted Art's interview.
Oh, good. I appreciate it. So
yesterday was really a very popular day. I mean, we had two great guests for sure. I mean, Gary Burbank, I mean, he's in that near idol department. As I'm someone, as you know, who likes to do impersonations, I was hoping Dr. Ruth would call you today and play Family Feud, but maybe that'll be next hour. So I do admire people that have the multiple voices and personalities, and Doc with his senseless surveys and a few other things. That was Gary's sidekick. He was great also. But I had people asking me about that link. And then Art also. Again, I only heard parts of the interview with Art. I likely don't agree with most of it, as you know, but that's okay. If we all agreed in everything, the world would be awfully boring. But I do respect him, and not just as a doctor and intelligent person, but as nice as he is to come on the show regularly and speak to you about stuff, even topics like this that are difficult. So the interview is there, and we do invite people to listen. And the thing is, we have so many good interviews, and as do other guests. And that blog section will be about 50 entries long. They put everything on. So based upon listener demand and timeliness, I'll, at my discretion, just put links there. So he's up there along with Ron's links. And some stuff that was posted a few years ago about The Price is Right, a personal favorite of mine, and a few others. So we invite people to visit the website, use our server, email us on our private email server. And if there was ever a doubt that we're not the best talk station, not in Marion, but the universe, well, this should pretty much answer that question.
Well, you know, one thing I will say, and I appreciate you doing that, putting the doctor's interview on the homepage. It's interesting to me because what he did, there wasn't so much opinion in the, there was some about the pandemic, but people don't know about the vaccine a whole lot, and people are not going to their doctors and asking. And what I thought he did was he certainly laid out what it is, what it could do, what the risks are, what the risks are not. And, you know, people can make their own decision based on that, but at least it's a medical doctor who researched this for many days and has been researching it since the beginning, giving this information. It's not.
Yeah, I just heard part of it. And I know a couple interviews ago, certainly the opinions given were not consistent with mine. That doesn't mean I didn't appreciate them and admire them. But I want to listen to the whole thing because, from a factual standpoint, it is important.
Yeah. Well,
and that's the whole vaccine, the logistics, whatever word you want to use, are different from others. We think of the United States, as you know, it can take 20 years to approve medication or some other intervention. And this Operation Warp Speed, I mean, literally, it was like weeks. And totally different path. So having that medical opinion from someone who's been on talk shows and tells it like it is. I mean, he doesn't have the fluff that Dr. Phil and some of these other ones do. I mean, he's more cerebral, which is certainly more my style. That's something to keep in mind.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Adam, and we will keep plugging that along. Appreciate
it. Are you playing Family Feud next hour?
You know, I might
Thursday.
Yeah, might be. I have it laid out here. So if we get to it,
I was hoping that Dr. Ruth or Howard Cosell or one of the people that comes out of my mouth. I'm not as talented as Gary Burbank, but I can do a couple of those. Maybe they would call next hour and play Family Feud. That was one thing I was thinking of.
It's always a lot of fun.
Let me know, and you might get a call from somewhere in New York City or whatever.
Thank you, Adam.
No problem.
Bye-bye. All right, there you go. Ask and you shall receive. The website, wwgh1071.com. It is on the homepage. You don't have to look for it. The interview with Dr. Art Uhlein is now on the front page. If you want to send that to somebody who you want to listen to it or you think should hear it about the vaccine and the pandemic and the strains, it's about a 45-minute interview. And you can find it by going to wwgh1071.com. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Any thoughts that you have on the vaccine or the new strain, which yesterday was, I believe, located in Columbus. So here we go. And it's my understanding, and I'm no doctor, but on this new strain of COVID-19, it's not more deadly symptom-wise, it's just more contagious, is what I keep hearing on all the news broadcasts, but I'm sure I'm watching the same thing that you're watching, so you know as much as I do about that. But what do you think about the vaccine? That's where we are right now. And again, if the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying back in. 57 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open today to have these type of conversations. The vaccine is, it's going to be a tool to help us get through this, because if we keep passing around this, it's viral. The disease is viral, so you've got to come in contact with somebody to have the issue. Go ahead, caller.
Can I hear you say we were playing Family?
It's a possibility.
I have, because I had it penciled down on my calendar for tomorrow, but if we're playing today, then I need to get ready.
Well, you know, we certainly, I imagine, I can't see any reason we would not play tomorrow, but it could pop up today as well, because it's become such a popular feature on this program.
Oh, goody.
Yeah. So, do you have your thinking cap on this morning?
I do.
Do you have
I got my dialing fingers ready.
That's right. Do you have any thoughts on the vaccine?
I don't. I wasn't able to. I didn't hear the program with Dr. Uhlein in its entirety, but I did tune in and out. And I don't know. I hate to say that I'm on the fence. Nobody likes indecision, but I'm not somebody. I like to not jump into things, but I don't know. Everybody seems to be okay that's taken. My daughter took it. She's fine.
Oh, so she did take it.
Mm-hmm. To be 100% accurate, she has had the first shot, and I think that there's like something where you have to get another shot.
And she did not have any side effects at all?
No.
No.
Not at all. So.
Now what age?
Probably it's a good idea to go get the shot.
Now, what age range is she in?
She's 18.
18. There you go.
What do you think about it?
Yeah.
Well, we're probably not supposed to ask you questions because it's your show. You do the interview. What do you think?
Well, what I think is that, like I said, I know three people who have gotten it from the ages of the late 30s to 90. And I've asked them all off air, you know, and on air in some cases, what it was like, and they have all said that one person did have some side effects, but they weren't anything that was debilitating, and most of them have said that it was just a little pain in the arm. So, you know, if it does stop you 95% of getting something that could kill you, I think this is probably a good thing, and what the doctor said yesterday certainly was all very positive. I guess what I want to hear the definitive reason why people aren't getting it. I got to hear that side, and I'm not really hearing that side, except people saying they're nervous. Well, what are you nervous of?
Right, because if you roll the dice on not getting it, you might get it, and then you'll probably be a lot worse off than, you know, have gotten it, because it doesn't seem like there are a lot of side effects.
Well, here's what I will say. Here's what I will say about this before we go to break here, and I think this is an important thing, and this is how I think of it. If you got sick tomorrow, let's say with the flu, or any illness you could get, and you're sick and you're down in your bed, the first thing most people are going to do is they're either going to call their doctor to get something called in, or they are going to send somebody to the store to get something over the counter. So you are going to take medicine to treat that illness because you don't want to feel bad. So the vaccine, to this point, is the only thing we know that's going to stop the spread of this. So
right, and you're so right. And the medicine that you take to feel better, there might be side effects from that.
Oh, read the bottles.
Yeah.
Read the bottles.
Let's all just go get a shot now and get over it.
And you know what? If it doesn't work, what did we lose?
Right.
That's exactly right. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. And we might take some calls on the other side, but we've got to break right now. We'll be back in 15 minutes here on WWGH Radio.
Yeah, absolutely. I would get rid of the lawsuit. You know, this was, the lawsuit was just a means by which we could open the conversation with the university. And you know, as again I say, that all I have is my honor and my word, a reputation, and that's what I'm fighting for. And it's certainly